You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the resurrection of the tennis podcast here with William Hill, ahead of what promises to be an exciting Australian Open. My name is Dave Kellner. We're going to look through the men's side of the tournament and the women's on this edition of the podcast, and I'm joined by two tennis experts here in the studio. To my left, Andy Watson, in-player tennis trader, and to my right, Paul Massey, who is also part of the in-player tennis team. I'm looking forward to this, chaps. I've not been able to talk tennis in this studio for quite a while, and I've missed it. I've missed it, Andy.
I know. Well, I've missed tennis whilst it's been away for the last couple of months as well, but it's back with a bang with the Australian Open. Bang's probably the operative word when we get into the injury crisis. It seems to be engulfing the tennis world, but yeah, can't wait for it to start.
And Paul, as Andy mentioned there, coming into this slam this season, we've talked about the big four in tennis, particularly in the men's side, for the better part of a decade now.
We have.
But that seems to be, or appears to be, on the way. And Andy Murray's out with his hip injury. We're unsure about Novak Djokovic and his fitness coming in. It's only really Roger Federer, having won those two slams last year, who seems to still be at this age, at the peak of his powers.
Well, that's true, but you've got to remember Nadal is still world ranked number one. He did he's looked not 100% fit since the back end of last year. But you're right, Roger is the only one who looks rock solid out of those top four.
Let me spin you through the betting for the Men's Australian Open. You guys will know the odds more than I will here, but Roger Federer is 7-4 favourite. Rafael Nadal 4-1, Novak Djokovic 11-2, 10-1 Grigor Dimitrov, Alexander Zverev is 12-1, Juan Martin Del Potro and Nick Kyrgios both 16s, and it's 18-1 and bigger the rest. Got to start with Roger Federer.
Yeah.
Won two slams last year, Andy, and it's as if this guy is cryogenically frozen each and every year, and they just thaw him out prior to a Grand Slam. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, at that age as well. I know we don't really want to bang on about age. I really do think that it is just a number, as he's going for his 20th win, and it's difficult to see past him as we've gone through the betting there. It's really disappointing actually to see there's not very much coming through to push them, and that's really the main issue why Roger is such a short price, as we talked about Nadal and Djokovic with their fitness issues. But the man, he plays, in my opinion, the best tennis that we've ever seen. He's still churning it out now. The draw has been relatively kind to him. He's second seed, but due to his ranking. But he's not really got to face anyone that difficult until we possibly face Del Potro in the quarterfinals. So he's got a relatively easy run of it to that point. And I can see him going through in pretty much straight sets today, which doesn't really stretch him too far. And that age probably won't even come into it at all.
7-4 he is at the top of the betting poll. And Federer, when he went through that dry spell between 2013 and 2016, I think a lot of people wrote him off. I was one that said maybe he'll never win another slam.
Me too. You're thinking, look, you've got four kids now, why not go home and enjoy it? You don't need the money. But he's just proved us all wrong, hasn't he? And he's just come back fighting so hard.
Do you think 7-4 is a price you... Is it a price you want to lay or not?
That's tricky, isn't it? I certainly think he deserves to be a rock-solid favourite. And with the doubts about, you know, Nadal and Djokovic could beat him at the top of the game, but we haven't seen the evidence of that now. So I think 7-4 is the right price for him.
Rafael Nadal is second in the betting at 4-1. Led 3-1 in the deciding set against Roger Federer last year in this championship. Lost five straight games. He'd gone five against Grigor Dimitrov prior to that, and Alex Zverev had pushed him close in the tournament as well. So maybe fatigue came into it in the closing stages last year for Rafael Nadal. Where do you think his game is at right now?
Nadal?
Yeah.
That's hard to tell because he's missed a bit of tennis, hasn't he, since the back end of last year.
He's not played for a while, has he? And he played in the Kooyong Classic, which is just an exhibition tournament, last week, and he lost to Richard Gasquet there in straight sets. So it really is difficult to know where Nadal's at. And that 4-1, again, is a price that I just wouldn't really be interested in, the current, like, not really knowing enough about his current condition.
Mm. Well, if you want to back Nadal, why not wait for one match?
Yeah, because his price is
everything up to Kooyong Classic, things like that. They're just playing. Wait till you See what he's like when he's got a match under his belt. Yeah. Same with Djokovic.
Yeah, he's in the betting at 11-2, Novak Djokovic. He had to pull out of the... he's won 11 Grand Slams in that six-year period between 2011 and 2016, but the wheels came off to a certain extent last year, Andy.
I know. Like, that histamine was a massive shock. I remember being in the office as that match was going on. You just keep thinking, well, surely he's going to turn it around. Surely he's going to turn it around. And then histamine just kept on playing really well and took him out in the second round, that was last year. But having said that, I went through the stats preparing for this, and he's got the best win-loss record of the entire field in this particular event. He's won it six times. Like, it's very difficult to see where that histamine thing, it just came out of nowhere. Mm. So if he does prove himself fit, and like Paul said, if you just wait a match or two, is that 11-2 really going to change too much, especially if Federer and Nadal progress? He did play in the Kuyang Classic and absolutely thrashed Dominic Thiem this week, but you know, that is just an exhibition. He did come out of that and said, my elbow isn't exactly 100%. And I'm going to take it day by day, which doesn't inspire me with confidence when I want to be getting rid of my hard-earned money here at William Hill for 11-2 on Djokovic. So, again, I'd wait and see on him. He's not one that I'll be certainly looking at laying all that money on straight away.
Grigor Dimitrov is next in the betting at 10-1. He's only made two semi-finals in his career. I think, Paul, people were expecting more from Grigor Dimitrov. At this stage of his career, you'd think he would have definitely made a final of a slam by now.
You'd have hoped so. We were looking for the big breakthrough from Dimitrov 3 or 4 years ago. It hasn't happened, but to be honest, he's the one who is on my shortlist for this year. He's in the opposite side of the draw to Federer. He's playing well. He won the World Tour Finals at the back end of last year. Admittedly, not everyone turned up for that, but he can only beat the people who are in front of him. He had a pretty good tournament, I think, last year. He's got an easy draw through to round three. He won't play anyone who ranked higher than a qualifier to get through to round three. So he's definitely on my shortlist.
Dimitrov, 10-1. Your thoughts, Andy?
On Grigor?
Yeah,
absolutely. I kind of echo those sentiments, really. It's like, were you working in the same department or something? No, he made it to the semi-final of this tournament last year, first Nadal. It was a very tight game. I just think he has elevated his game. And as Paul said, with that win at the ATP Finals last year, that I think that's probably going to give him the extra confidence that he needs, that he was lacking towards the back end of Grand Slams. He used to have a terrible Grand Slam record, but last year he won 11, lost 4 in the Grand Slams, which has really brought his kind of career win-loss record in the Grand Slams up to a respectable level. And I just think this could be the year where he finally does break that duck. Whether it's here, difficult. I think he's got a tricky spell in round four. He'll play the winner of Tsonga versus Kyrgios, which we'll make up onto later. If he gets through that one, then I can definitely see him making that semi-final where he could play Nadal again. Mm. But I do think he might have the edge on Nadal this time, especially with the injury concerns that Nadal may or may not have. So yeah, another one. He is on my shortlist as well for this event.
Alex Zverev is in the betting at 12-1. Still only 20 years old, Zverev. He's shown a little bit of petulance and frustration in his most recent matches. Fourth round at Wimbledon last year is his best finish in a Grand Slam. But Roger Federer has come out in the press and said that he's going to be very difficult to beat this fortnight in Australia. Maybe that's a little bit of gamesmanship from Federer. Sees the young gun coming up on his heels and thinks, I'll unsettle him by adding the burden of the extra pressure of the weight of my words, for instance. So I think that might be something that Zverev has got to handle this week, Andy.
Yeah, I agree. He's really disappointed me in the Grand Slams. I've backed him a couple of times for Grand Slams, and he's just not seem to turn up, seems to crumble under the pressure. And I know he is only 20 years old. He kind of broke through at 17, 18, and we all thought, this is it. This is where the guard is going to change finally. But the fact that he's 12-1 coming into this, with all the injury concerns above him in the rankings, it just goes to show that he just hasn't made that breakthrough. And I can't really... Until he makes that breakthrough, until he shows something, gets deep into a slam, I'm not gonna back him again. Not gonna back him again. Not gonna be so foolish as I was a couple of years ago to part with my money on him. He's never made it past round four, as you said. He made it to the third round here last year, and it came up against Nadal. He's got a little bit of an easier run with being fourth seed for this event, but still, I can see him tripping up before he gets into the later stages. So, yeah, I'll be leaving him alone as well.
Yeah, I think this must be the shortest price he's ever come into a Grand Slam as well.
That's true. I mean, there's no doubt he's got talent, but I can't remember the last time a 20-year-old male player got anywhere near the back end of a Grand Slam, and I'm not convinced it's happening this year.
Just one thing, if I can just throw it in on Zverev, it's funny because when you see him play, he wins a lot of, when he's playing best of three, he wins a lot of three set matches and gets really up for it in the third set and wins a lot of tight matches that you would think he's out of. So he does have mental strength. He just seems to dissipate when he gets to on the biggest of stages. So I really want him to break through and do well. I want to see that change on the guard. I want to see the youth come through. But so until he does that, like I said, I'm not going to be touching him.
We'll get your idea of the winner, the each way bet, possible shock, and maybe an upset in the first round in a few moments' time. But before we do that, let's talk about the two guys that are both at 16-1, starting with the big Argentinian, Juan Martín Del Potro, who's 16s. I suppose last season was a success for him. He was coming back off a lengthy injury absence, and he managed to show that he's still got game. Juan Martín Del Potro. Just worry about his draw. I think he's got a pretty tricky draw, Del Potro. I'm looking at Francis Tiafoe and Karen Khachanov maybe as potential dangers.
Could be. I mean, yeah, you're right. Last year I think he did really well. I wasn't expecting him to come back like that. But he beat some big players, and I think he can do it again. Whether he's got enough to take it all the way, I'm not sure. But I still think he's in the semi-finals of the ATP event in Sydney
right now.
Yeah, he
is, as we recall this.
So he'll be playing that tonight, and if you want to back him and you think he's going to win that, his price will come down if he wins that Sydney event. Mm. And I could see him doing that.
He's 16-1. Nick Kyrgios is 16-1 as well. He's my favourite player in the game right now because
absolutely.
He's just so entertaining. He's brash, he's confident. He's the only one of the top guys. When the ATP have been considering changing the format from 32 seeds to 16 seeds, and he came out and said, I don't mind, I've beaten Novak Djokovic every time I've faced him anyway. I think he's just an entertainer, and I know people get frustrated with how petulant he can be on the tennis court at times, but that's what makes this sport entertaining, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. He is the draw. The fact that he's Australian as well, going into his home Grand Slam, he's a massive favourite in the tennis team. He's the massive, so is Juan Martín Del Potro. Both these two guys are very, very popular, I think probably worldwide and definitely in our team. But he does wind me up as well. He does. He's a nightmare to trade. He gets into positions and then gets himself out of them and then sulks and then throws his racket and then has a go at the umpire and then just like slumps his shoulders and then that's the end of him. But having said that, like his serve is absolutely unbelievable. He won an event recently and I spoke to a trader who did some of that his matches and they just said he's unstoppable. That serve is just incredible. And when he's on form, he knows, he said it himself, he can beat absolutely anybody on any given day. The thing is, those days don't come around in Grand Slams. His record last year was absolutely abysmal. Round one, lost to John Millman in the US Open. I traded that, thankfully, because I won an absolute packet on it. But, I think this could be the time, though. This could be the time for Nick, and he's got a tricky draw because he's in that section with Grigor Dimitrov and Joe Wilfried Tsonga. If he gets through Tsonga in the third round, he gets through Dimitrov, then I can see him going all the way to the final. If he does end up playing Federer there, that's going to be, the crowd are going to be absolutely off it for that. Melbourne's going to be rocking for that final if it does happen, and I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I would as well. He won in Brisbane recently, Nick Kyrgios. No Australians won this event on the men's side since Mark Edmondson back in 1976, so it would be huge for that partisan crowd. They are partisan down under as well, to see Nick Kyrgios make a run deep in this slam. And I'd love to see it. And I think 16-1 is fair, Paul, actually.
I think it's fair. He's one of the three dames down on my list as well. He won ATP Brisbane. He beat Dimitrov in the semi-final there, and he's another on my shortlist. So, you know, on their most recent form, Kyrgios can beat Dimitrov. And like they are seen, they're in the same quarter. I think Kyrgios will get there. I don't think anyone will stop him getting there. And I think the winner of the Kyrgios-Dimitrov match, which I believe will happen, will get to the final, Nadal fit or not.
Very good. Let's get the picks then. We'll get your guy that you think is the standout in the betting in terms of a win prospect and each way chance and maybe a possible shock as well. Andy?
Yes. I've been preparing this and thinking, I've got to take Federer on, and I've ended up not taking Federer on, which is possibly, you know, wimping out of this a little bit, but I've gone 3 points Federer for it. Even though it is 7-4, I backed him at a slightly bigger price earlier on in the year, but I just can't see anyone beating him. I can't, like, the way he played at the Hopman Cup, again, I know it's only an exhibition, but he breezed through that in his effortless style. I have concerns about Djokovic's fitness, and I just see Federer getting to that final, and whoever he plays there, he's going to be favourite. So I'm going to take the 7-4 on Federer and go with that. Shall I carry on with an each way
shout?
Yeah,
please do.
Dimitrov for me. Again, as Paul just mentioned, I see him getting to the semi-final. I can see him beating Kyrgios, beating Nadal if he gets there, and then a Federer-Dimitrov final for me. In terms of a bigger outsider, the only person that I've managed to make any kind of case for getting somewhere is, this is going to sound ridiculous, but Roberto Bautista Agut.
Okay.
Is down at 66s. When I looked at this pre-draw last night, it was 125, so someone obviously has clipped that price in quite substantially. I really fancied him at 125s. But 66s, the case is this for Roberto Bautista Agut. If you fancy a quarter bet, maybe, I can see him possibly getting to the quarterfinals where he would due to face Dominic Thiem. But the thing about Dominic Thiem is he doesn't make it deep in slams. He's another one who's a young player who hasn't actually proved himself at this level yet. So I can see him tripping up before that. And if he does, then he's got to play possibly Guido Pella or Steve Johnson or Adrian Mannarino. And Roberto Bautista Agut is the model of consistency. If you look back through his record, he's made the third round in his last 10 Grand Slams consecutively. Mm-hmm. Seven of those he's made the fourth round. So he only needs to go one or two more. I can see him getting to the quarters, especially if Thiem isn't there, and then he'll play possibly Djokovic if he's fit, but if he's not, then that opens the door massively for him, and he's just that consistent. Actually, his hard court stats, break hold stats, were the third best in the entire game last year,
right
behind only Federer and Nadal. He held serve like I've actually got the figures here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, it's almost as if I prepared for this or something. He held serve 82% of the time and broke serve an impressive 32% of the time. So that's 114 for those of you who are good at maths. And that's only just behind Federer and Nadal at 118 and 117. So that's my case for Roberto Bautista Agut.
As we mentioned off air as well, Paul, given that we're recording this just after the draw's been made, there will be that full range of markets on the William Hill website, so you'll have the opportunity to bet on the quarters.
Right.
And that's where Roberto Bautista Agut comes in.
Yeah, they're really great markets to get involved with. But also, because you can cash out your bets at William Hill, that's the other way. If you back them for the outright and someone gets to the last eight at a big price, you can pretty much probably lock in a profit at that stage.
Yeah, very good. So give us your winner, your each way, and your possible outsider as well.
Well, I really don't want to echo.
You fancy Federer as well?
Federer is rock solid. I think he'll make the final, and you just feel like whoever's at the other side of the net, they're almost starting like playing uphill because he's done it, and I think the person at the other end will be Dimitrov or Kyrgios, and they've not done that before. And will the pressure on them just make them crumble? But I definitely think Dimitrov and Kyrgios to get to the final, one of those two.
Okay.
Can I just throw in a massive price?
Yep.
Tanasi Kokkinakis, the Australian.
Yep.
I think it's 250-1.
Yep.
I just like him. It's not as solid a case as I had for Roberto Bautista Agut. I just like him. I like the cut of his jib. He's a proper Aussie. He's fiery. I can see him possibly causing some shocks.
He's got a tough draw, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got a very tough draw, but I think that probably might help him. He's missed a lot of tennis in the last 2 years through injury, and I just think he's got the bit between his teeth, and I just wanted to throw somebody in there at a massive price. So Tanasi Kokkinakis as well. Just
Let's get stuck into the women's side of the draw then, where Elina Svitolina, Karolina Pliskova and Simona Halep are 8-1 co-favourites of three for this. It's 9-1 Caroline Wozniacki, Angelique Kerber and Garbine Muguruza both 10-1, Maria Sharapova 11-1, 16's bar. The absence of Serena Williams means this is the most open, from a betting perspective, slam I've ever seen since I've been at William Hill, I think, Paul.
Yeah, but to be honest, I think even if Serena had been there, I think it might still have been the most open, because obviously she's not proved anything for the last few months. She's been busy in the nursery. But no, it's like a grand national betting, isn't it, with these prices?
It's fantastic, it really is. Start with Svitolina, who won the Brisbane International, and she equaled or bettered her performance in all four slams last year, so she's obviously progressing. She's still never been past the fourth round of a slam, though, Paul.
No, she's never reached a grand slam semi-final. I don't like to see a favourite with that sort of a record. I can see why... She's been attractive to some people. She's won a recent tournament. But most of the people at the top of that betting there have won a recent tournament.
Yeah.
So I'd prefer to look at those prices. I'd want someone with a bit more Grand Slam record.
Yeah, and no, I suppose Pliskova's not got much better Grand Slam record. I mean, I think her ability to hit winners from anywhere on the court is a very positive. That comes from either wing as well. And her biggest weapon's her serve as well, so she's obviously going to be suited perfectly to this kind of surface. She actually finished first in the ace rankings last year. 452 she had across
69
matches. A little bit of work, but these courts clearly suit her game. But as Paul was saying, you've got Svitolina and Pliskova both at the top of the betting at 8-1, and both with a limited Grand Slam pedigree.
Yeah, throw Halep in there as well, because none of them have won a Grand Slam. It's ridiculous almost, isn't it? They were talking about three favourites at the top of the market and none of them have won a Grand Slam. Like you say, it goes to show the dominance that Serena's had in the last few years, really. Pliskova, watching her play, she's so kind of lackadaisical almost with her swings, but because she's got those long levers, she's 6'2", she dwarfs us three, I think, in the studio here. So, that style, like I say, suited to hard court. And you say that she hasn't got a great Grand Slam record. She doesn't really, but she did win 14 and only lose 4 last year. So that did mark a massive improvement. It only brings her career record up to 59% of Grand Slam victories out of all the matches she's played. So it shows how dire she was before last year. And if you remember, it was back in 2016 she made the final of the US Open, and she was very unlucky not to win that. I think it was against Kerber. And I thought that might be the time for her to kick on. She didn't really, but she definitely deserves to be up there in the betting. And I really like Elina Svitolina for her tenacity, and she had a great year last year. But again, like you say, her Grand Slam record isn't great. So
Simona Halep, 8-1, not for me. I mean,
no, absolutely not for me. I thought she'd be world number one about 3 years ago. She really had a great season, and I thought, right, this is the year. She won 9 tournaments. This is the year she knocked Serena off the top spot. Didn't happen. She's simply going to reverse. She's reached number one now, but is that sort of by default because other people have just not done it? Her Grand Slam record for someone of her talent is pretty dreadful, to be honest. I know she's reached semis, but last year, she went out in the first round. I think she lost some like 6-1, 6-love or 6-2, 6-1. I couldn't be having her at that sort of price.
Especially on the surface, I think, with Halep. Yeah. I mean, she's been knocked out first.
She's a clay girl, isn't she?
She is. I mean, she's been knocked out first round in 4 of the last 6 years here. I think if you're looking for an early surprise, could be her to check out.
She's got 17-year-old Australian wildcard, Destiny Ayeva, in the first round, and that could be a huge upset, and the Australian crowd have been massively behind Ayeva, and actually I could see it being quite closer than the betting will suggest.
Caroline Wozniacki is in the market at 9-1, a player with a similar style to Simona Halep in many ways. She's back in the top three for the first time since 2012. She's newly engaged to the basketball star David Lee, which, if you're looking at it from that angle, where settled personally, it might reflect with better performances on the court. She's coming off one of her best seasons ever.
She is, yeah. She made, I think it was 7 finals or 8 finals last year. She lost the first 5 of those, and I remember when I was looking at the WTA finals thinking, God, she's going to lose another one here. But she didn't. She came through and won that, and she was absolutely outstanding in that tournament. And she's similar to Dimitrov in a way that I can see that she's elevated her game to another level. She made world number one, I think, like 5 or 6 years ago, and you thought, that's the time for her, but it wasn't. She went backwards. But I think this resurgence is really, she's improved her serve, she's improved her return game, she's got fantastic hard court hold break stats, and she hasn't got a great record in Australia, but I think she does have a good case this year.
Okay, Caroline Wozniacki 9-1. Do you agree? Do you concur with that?
She's definitely playing well, probably the best tennis of her career right now. And you know, she's not a young girl anymore, so it's surprising to see her make this improvement at this stage. 9-1, probably about right, but she's not. I wouldn't be backing her at that price. She doesn't have a great record in Australia.
The one that I like is Angelique Kerber at 10-1.
Really?
I do. She's been very well backed in recent days, Angelique Kerber at 10-1. She's changed coach, hasn't she? She's gone to Wim Fissette, who's worked with Johanna Konta, Victoria Azarenka and Simona Halep. And the one thing she did with all three of those women is improve their serve, and that's always been Kerber's weakness. She won a couple of slams in 2016, including this one. I can see she's a huge confidence player, Kerber, and I think if she's gained confidence under Fissette, she's going to be I think she's going to be difficult to stop. Andy, I might be barking up the wrong tree,
Well,
I like her.
I don't think you are barking up the wrong tree. I heard Paul's disdain in his voice there when you mentioned Angelique Kerber, but actually you're kind of echoing my thoughts. I saw that when she changed coaches to win Fissette, and what that coach managed to do with Johanna Konta's game, moving her from 100 not in the world all the way up into the top 10, was incredible. And she's, I think she's still in the tournament.
She's still in the Sydney semis.
So she's showing some current form.
If you think she's a confidence player and she wins those next two matches, watch out for her.
I liked her price earlier on. Like I say, she's been quite heavily backed.
Yeah.
And so she's coming in all the time. People latching onto this new coach thing probably, but like say, she won it in 2016, and even though she had a horrible year last year, she did manage to make the last 16 last year. She's good on the hard court, she's got solid record, and she's won Grand Slams, which none of the people above her in the betting have.
Yeah, that was my thought. Why the disdain for Angelique
Kerber?
Just
the price, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying she can't win, it's just I think there's it's such an open field in the women's side of the event. I'd be looking for bigger prices, because I think virtually anyone could beat anyone else out of these top 20 in the betting.
I agree. Kerber's at 10-1. Muguruza's at 10-1. I mean, you've got Kerber with pedigree and coming back into a bit of form. Muguruza, who's had to withdraw from recent tournaments, first with a thigh injury and then with leg cramps.
Yeah, she's been playing well, but you know, if your body's not going to hold together, that's no good just playing well for one set and withdrawing.
And the other one, 11-1, Maria Sharapova.
Yeah.
You're an expander. Yeah.
Well, what? It's so hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really can't see it.
No, I can't either, if I'm being honest. What do you think?
No, I can't either. But she is playing again now. She is in a regular sort of rhythm now, where she wasn't last year. And she's had the whole off season to prepare for this. None of these guys have been playing regularly because there's been no tennis. Mm. So if you look at it that way, some kind of clean slate. She's got by far the best Grand Slam win percentage in the draw. She's won 81% of her Grand Slam matches. She's a multiple Grand Slam champion. She got to the final of this in 2015, quarterfinals in 2016. Obviously, she didn't play last year for, well, we know why. But she has won 8 of her last 10 matches as well on tour. So you can make a case for her, but not at 11-1, surely. Like, not after the layoff that she's had. And is she still the same player that she was when she was...
When did she start her ban?
It was... She got caught, then she... the back end of 2015. So I don't think she was actually... I think she was waiting for her ban. It was back in the 2016, so she was waiting for her ban for this time last year. That's why she didn't play in this event. And, of course, she didn't really play hardly at all, and she's only ranked 59. But she can beat the the top players. There's no doubt about it. And she made it to the semi-final of an event last week where she lost to Katerina Siniakova, which, you know, you'd expect her to be beating her at the top of her form, which probably shows she's not right at the peak. So, yeah, 11-1. You can make a case, but probably not enough of a case for it to be a good bet.
16-1 bar the women we've mentioned. This isn't like the men's. You can throw a few darts here and hope for some success, Paul.
I think so. And 16-1 is the first one that I'd be looking to put any money on. Julia Gorgeous. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce her name.
That's good enough for me.
That's good enough for you. Yeah, she's... I'm not quite sure how many matches in a row she's won now, but she's won her last two or three events.
It's 15.
Form of her life. 15 in a row. You know, I know all runs like that come to an end sooner or later, but she, you know, she's been getting to finals and winning them, and that's the sort of pedigree I like to look at when I'm risking my own money.
Okay. Next bet?
Next bet, Coco Vandeweghe.
Okay. She is 22.
22, yeah. She had a really good run here last year. She only lost to, I think it was Venus in the semi-final. Took her to three sets, three tight sets. So she was very close to getting to the final. She's not a young player, but she's only really recently, you know, started to step up to that next level.
Yep.
She had a good run at Wimbledon last year. I think she got to the quarters there. I just like her, and I think she plays really well on hard courts. 22-1. She's in the bottom half, which I think is the easier half. Certainly without some of the bigger names in. She beat Muguruza and Kerber on the way to the semis last year. So 22-1, I think you get a good run for your money from Coco.
Okay, and have you got one more?
I've got two more.
Hold your thoughts then, and we'll get Andy's couple of picks.
I would like to just echo Coco. She seems to be a big Grand Slam player. She doesn't seem to do it very much on the regular tour, but when it comes to the Slams, she made two semi-finals last year, and she picks up a game then. I'm not going to bet her, though. I do have a slightly bigger price. I have Ashley Barty,
yeah,
the Australian. What price is she?
25, she is.
25, so only slightly bigger. Case for Ashley Barty, obviously Australian hometown player for this Grand Slam. She's a very interesting character. She played tennis as a youngster. She made a lot of Grand Slam finals as a doubles player. And then she took time out of the game to go and play cricket professionally in Australia for a couple of years. And then came back and then she started playing on the grass court season last year. And actually, I think I saw her live in Nottingham. We went down to Nottingham and saw her play. And she's a big girl, but she knows how to use that power. She's got a fantastic serve. Her ground strokes are heavy. She's in the top half of the draw, which is... She's in the Halep's quarter, actually. And if we're talking about Halep not having the greatest record and could go out early, then that opens the door for her to get through to the quarterfinals, where I have her playing Pliskova. And Pliskova and Barty, it'd just be a serve-a-thon. They've actually played three times before. Barty's got a winning record against her, 2-1. Five out of the eight sets they've played have been tie-breaks, so it's pretty much a pick 'em there. And then if she gets through that, then she plays, and, you know, when you're in the semi-finals, anything can happen. Mm. So I think, although people have been nibbling at that price all the way through because, well, they've probably seen what I'm seeing, and it's a home Grand Slam as well, I do still think 25-1, it's probably a better bet than any at the top of the betting.
She almost got on my list. I think she's still in the
WTA
at Sydney. She's in the semis there. She beat one of my picks to get there. So yeah, there's definitely a good case for Ashley Barty.
Any others, Andy?
You know, it's like you said, you could throw darts all over the place. This is, again, it's going to possibly sound ridiculous. I looked at even 200-1 Lesia Sorenko, just because she's showing a bit of form, and because she's one of those that come out of the Russian, so she's Ukrainian. I think a lot of them kind of tend to get overlooked because people don't really know that much about them. So I looked even as far down as her. Ridiculously, Heather Watson's showing some form. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be backing her, even though she's got the same surname as me. That's the only piece of positivity I could probably give about Heather Watson. But she's pretty much the only hometown hero that we've got in the draw. Well, Johanna Konta, but we don't know if she's going to make it with her injury. And Paul might say she's Australian anyway. I've heard him say that plenty of times in the office. So Heather Watson, 150-1. She's actually been nibbled in from 200s. I can't see it, but you never know.
Yeah, she always seems to have played well in Hobart, doesn't she?
She won
it a couple of years ago, but yeah. I don't think she then did anything to follow up in the big one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I do have one more. I knew there was one more. Jennifer Brady at 300-1, just because she tends to come up at a Grand Slam and put in some decent performances. She's in Svitolina's quarter, and who's she got first round? She's playing Magdalena at first round and then Kazakhina second round. She comes up with big performances. She made it to the fourth round here last year. She made it to, I think, the fourth or third round of Wimbledon as well. Oh no, it was US Open. So she actually turns up at Grand Slams. I remember her beating, I think it was Heather Watson last year. So 300-1 again, if we're looking at quarter bets.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when you're throwing those couple of names out of big prices, Lesia Sorenko and Jennifer Brady and Ashley Barty to a certain extent as well, when the quarter betting's released on the website and on the app, you'll be looking at those at huge prices in those quarters as well.
You'll be looking more closely. It's much easier to do your quarter betting when it's all laid out, when the bookies have actually priced it up. It's easier to see.
Yeah.
My big two, I'm going for Daria Gavrilova, another Australian. She's still in the semis at Sydney. I'm not quite sure who's playing who over there in Sydney, but she's got an easy draw to round three, I think. She's 100-1, or she was last time I looked.
Yep, 100-1.
Yeah, so another home player. She won WTA New Haven last August. I know we're going back a few months, but it's proved she can win things. 100-1, I think that's a good price. She might give you a good run for your money.
Very good.
And lastly, I'll throw in Barbara Strakova, Czech player.
Babs.
125-1?
Yes.
Yep. And we're going back a year. Serena won the event last year. The hardest match she got on the way to winning it last year was against Barbara Strakova. I think she beat her either 7-5, 6-4 or the other way around. She's had wins since the middle of last year against Muguruza, Gorgeous, Gavrilova. I think, you know, at a big price. She also won WTA Linz in the autumn. She's got an easy draw to round three as well. She could give you a good run for your money.
Where she plays Konta, possibly.
Well, Konta, I don't know what's happened to Konta's game.
No.
This time last year, it was looking like she could be top four.
She went on favourite for a slam last year, did she, at one point? I'm sure she was
favourite for a slam.
Yeah.
I don't think it was pre-event, but it was during a slam. I think she became favourite. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Wimbledon.
I think it was Wimbledon.
But it's just gone wrong there. So Strakova to beat Konta, if Konta gets that far.
And what about the... I've got two guys from the in-play tennis team with me in the studio, obviously. What is the in-play... what are the markets like in play for this? Because it's going on overnight, isn't it? I suppose you've got to have a big team that are nocturnal.
Well, it's overnight our time. It is nocturnal. Certainly, the first week and early on, there's a great buzz because obviously you're playing on 20 courts. So we've got a good office full of traders in. But it does actually, you know... The number of top matches tails off quite quickly towards the end of the first week, so it gets a bit quieter and a bit more serious when we get to about Thursday.
There is a good atmosphere, though. I've traded the Aussie Open the last two or three years. I won't be trading any of it this year, just because I've got a little baby and I don't really want to do the nights, to be honest. But we've got a team of probably about 10 to 12 in there at the start of the tournament, and they're all high on caffeine and energy drink and chocolate and sweets, and so they can keep themselves concentrated for those long shifts, like four deep. But there's lots of opportunity in play to have a go at the correct score markets in the sets. And there's a lot of tie breaks in the Australian Open, or there can be. It's a fast surface.
And if you don't like to stay up all night, there's always the night sessions, usually about breakfast time, UK time, so you can get involved even if you're not a night owl.
That's always good.
There is a couple of really good first round matches as well to get your teeth into early on, and then, you know, the big matches come in the second week.
Would you like to see it reduced to 16 seeds just quickly?
I think it's irrelevant, to be honest.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I just think if you get 16 seeds, you might get a few more, you know, really tasty ties
tasty first round matches. Yeah.
Perhaps.
I agree with you. I think it should be 16. It was 16 when I was growing up, and everything was better then. So, I think 16. Why not? The top players you know, those are the top players. 16 to 32, they can beat anyone, can beat anybody at that level. So, yeah, 16 to 8, why not?
Chaps, thank you for your company. Thank you, Paul.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in tennis and William Hill, and you can get it via the usual podcast places, including iTunes as well. We'll have a full range of markets by the time the first ball is struck for the Australian Open. So check those out at sports.williamhill.com by going to the tennis page. And you can also access all these markets via the William Hill app as well. And as mentioned on this podcast, they will all be bet in play. So make sure you stay up, watch the tennis, get up early, watch the tennis, and enjoy the Australian Open here with William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.